Some of you are junior high students in the room. We have a diverse church. Some of you are high school students. Some of you are college students. Some of you are like me, and you're out of school. And how many of you remember being back in high school, and there was somebody in your high school that was good looking? Come on. They coming to mind right now? I mean, come on. They were fine. Fire hot. As the young people say today, they were a baddie. They were, she's a 10. They were just all that. And then you went to your class reunion 10 years later. You strolled up in your class reunion 20 years later. You showed up to the class reunion 30 years later, and you were talking to all your classmates, hanging out, talking, getting to catch up with everybody. And then one of them walked over to you, and you didn't recognize them. It's like, hey, now, who are you? And they said their name. You was like, say it again. Say your name. Because is that really you? And you're thinking to yourself, you didn't say it, but you're thinking, what happened? U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. You ugly. I wanted to date you in high school. I wanted to marry you, girl. I want you to have my babies. But I'm so glad I didn't. Come on, just lift your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. You come on. Somebody in high school, they used to be good looking. You're like, what in the world? You went from good looking to good Lord. And we don't always recognize people. We can be in their presence and still not recognize them. And what I've learned in 30 years of preaching and 22 years of being a pastor of People's Church, and may it'll be 22 years of pastoring People's Church, is that people don't always recognize Jesus. People can be in the presence of Jesus and still not recognize Jesus. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a story in the Bible where a woman was in the very presence of Jesus but did not recognize Jesus. And I want us to look at this story today in John chapter 20. And in verse number 11, it says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Now catch this. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. And maybe you can relate to Mary. You went to church camp as a kid or teenager, but you never recognized Jesus. You grew up going to Sunday school or to Sunday services, but you don't recognize Jesus. You've heard preachers talk about Jesus, but you've never recognized Jesus for yourself. You've sung worship songs and read Bible verses, but you don't recognize Jesus. How can people hear about Jesus, sing about Jesus, be in the presence of Jesus, and miss seeing Jesus? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to give you three obstacles that cause people to miss Jesus from this story. We learned this from Mary. And the first obstacle is your emotions can cause you to miss Jesus. I want you to see this in John chapter 20, verse 13. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. Mary did not recognize Jesus. She was clouded. She did not recognize Jesus because her own emotions were clouding Jesus. She was so full of sorrow because Jesus had just died a horrific death, and with only memories and lost hope, she went to the tomb to grieve. And Jesus's body was gone. She thought someone had stolen the body of Jesus, and she was overcome with emotion and started crying. Mary was looking for death at the tomb, and her tears blinded her from seeing life at the tomb. She was overwhelmed with mourning, and she missed the fact that she should have been rejoicing. Her feelings were drowning out the facts that Jesus was alive. And just like Mary, today there are many people who are overwhelmed with emotions, and they can't even recognize Jesus. Maybe that's where you find yourself today on this Easter weekend. Your past pain has blinded you from seeing Jesus. You've been so focused on your anxiety, you're missing Jesus. You're so consumed with your feelings of depression and hopelessness, worry or grief or anger or loneliness or maybe bitterness, and you're missing Jesus. Jesus is close by, but you're so overwhelmed with your emotions that you don't recognize Jesus. So your emotions can cause you to miss seeing Jesus. And number two, your discouragement can cause you to miss Jesus. It says there in John 20, verse 15, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." Mary arrived at the tomb, and she expected the tomb to be closed and for Jesus to be behind the stone. But the stone had been rolled away, and Jesus was not there. And Mary was disappointed because she did not understand the plan of God. She had a wrong expectation of Jesus. She thought Jesus was dead. And some of you can't recognize Jesus because you have a wrong expectation that is leading to disappointment. And here's what I've learned. Disappointment can hinder you from seeing Jesus. You're disappointed about the death of a loved one. I mean, Pastor, if God was really real, why did they die so young? You're disappointed about your children and where they are in life. I mean, Pastor, if God was real and God was really working on the earth, I feel like my kids would be doing better. They'd be making better choices. You may be disappointed because you can't get pregnant or because you're having major marriage problems or maybe you find yourself disappointed because you got fired from a job. I mean, why would God allow me to lose my job? Maybe you find yourself disappointed because you thought you'd be married by now. Or you're disappointed because you got a horrible doctor's report. You have cancer. You have some rare disease. You've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I mean, where is God? Why won't he heal me? You're disappointed because you just never expected to be where you are in life. You thought, man, if God had a plan and purpose for my life, why are things not working out for me? And next Sunday, I'm going to talk about that. I've been studying for this series for quite some time, these series of messages I'm going to start next Sunday. It's called Stay in Your Lane, Preparing for Your Purpose. And here's what my heart is. I really want you to understand, no matter what you're going through, God truly did create you on purpose and for a purpose. And if you will give me the opportunity starting next week, if you will hang with me and be back and stay with me the next several weeks, I'm going to teach you how to live out your God-given purpose because God has a purpose for your life. Some of you are disappointed because it doesn't look like God is answering your prayers. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed about this situation, this circumstance, this person, and nothing has changed. Things seem to be getting worse. And just like Mary, disappointment can cause you to miss seeing Jesus. You can miss seeing the love and the kindness of God. That's what disappointment can do to you. Disappointment can cause you not to recognize the grace and the mercy of God. You can miss recognizing the blessings of God. You can miss seeing God because of disappointment. Mary didn't recognize Jesus. She was disappointed. She was emotional, overwhelmed with emotions. Number three, your confusion can cause you to miss Jesus. Not only was Mary overwhelmed with emotion, she was disappointed, but she was confused. Mary said in John chapter 20, verse 15, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll go get him." She had a picture in her mind of Jesus, of what where he should have been. She was confident that he was dead. She was confident his body was at the tomb. And when Jesus wasn't where she thought he would be, and when Jesus did not look the way that she thought he should look, she was confused. She said, "Tell me where you have put the image of Jesus that I'm looking for, and I'll go get him." And today, many people are confused about the image of Jesus they're looking for. Their version of Jesus that they've pictured in their mind is keeping them from seeing the real, true Jesus of the Bible. People are confused today. People are confused because their version of Jesus would not allow all the horrible suffering in the world. I mean, Jesus can't be God. At least he can't be a good God, because there's too much pain, suffering, murder, hatred. There's way too much racism and greed and cheating and genocide in our world. But the existence of pain and suffering doesn't mean that there isn't a loving, all-powerful God. Just because you and I don't understand all of the ways of God doesn't mean there isn't a God. Ecclesiastes says it like this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. And just because we don't understand everything doesn't mean there isn't a loving God. Listen, church, this is so important. We can't limit and confine God to our thinking. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And no matter how smart, how educated, or back in the day, my daddy would say edumacated. No matter how edumacated you might be, you will never fully understand all the ways of God. And some people find themselves confused because their version of Jesus would not allow bad things to happen to good people. They think, well, if Jesus is God and there's really a God, then bad things should not happen to good people. And they get confused about Jesus because they think that following Jesus should shield people from experiencing bad things. But that's a bad picture of Jesus. That's a wrong picture. Because the biblical Jesus said this in John chapter 16 and verse number 33. He said, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus told his own disciples, his own followers, listen, you're going to experience trouble in this world. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden way back in the book of Genesis. There's sin, there's suffering, there's pain, there's evil in our world. And let me say this to no matter who you are, we all experience it. All of us experience pain and suffering. I love Jesus with all of my heart. I follow Jesus, but my mom still died in her 50s. My brother died in his 40s. I prayed for God to heal my daddy of cancer, but I preached his funeral and buried my daddy in December of 2022. Right now, my family is facing some health challenges. People lie on me. They've hurt me. But just because bad things happen to me doesn't mean Jesus isn't real, that he's loving, that he's a good God. C.S. Lewis, I want to help somebody today. I want to pastor somebody right now. C.S. Lewis, the great theologian, wrote an incredible book that you should read called The Problem with Pain. The Problem with Pain. And if you're struggling believing in Jesus, believing in God because of pain and suffering, you need to read this book. People are confused. Some people are confused because they believe a loving Jesus should allow many different ways to get to God. I mean, if God is love, then any religion should be okay. There should be many paths to God, Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism. What's interesting about some of the other religions is that they say that Jesus was a good man. Some of the other religions say that Jesus was a prophet. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that I am the only way to God the Father. As C.S. Lewis once said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And with all of my heart, I believe Jesus is Lord. Mary believed that Jesus is Lord. Let's look back at this story. I want you to see that Mary believed that Jesus was Lord. And in John chapter number 20 and verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, come on, everybody shout Mary. Yeah, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary, Mary. He called out, Mary. And when Jesus called her name, Mary recognized this is Jesus. He called her by name. She had a personal encounter with Jesus that changed everything for her. And today, what some of you need is not more facts. What some of you need are not good, more good books or more convincing arguments about God or Jesus. What some of you need is a personal encounter with Jesus. You need to hear Jesus call you by name. This changed everything for Mary, and it'll change everything for you. And I want you to notice what happens next in this story. John chapter 20, the next verse, verse 17. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, I have seen, say those two words with me, the Lord. Come on, say it with me again. The Lord. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. Mary said, I have seen the Lord. Jesus called her by name. She had a personal encounter with the Lord. It changed everything for her. And what changed everything for me was a personal encounter with the Lord. I'm telling you today, you can't argue with me and convince me that Jesus isn't Lord, because I have had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And a person with an experience with God is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. I've experienced Jesus for myself. He's called me by name. I've experienced his life-changing power. It happened to me in the football locker room. My senior year of high school, I was a confused teenager. I had been sexually, mentally, verbally abused. And on a Thursday night in that Wewoka High School football locker room at an FCA gathering in front of the entire football team, I heard somebody preach about Jesus. And with tears streaming down my face that night, I gave my life to Jesus. I said yes to Jesus. I made Jesus Lord of my life. That night, Jesus called me by name, and I'll never forget that night because it changed my life. I'll never forget that night because I had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that night because, can I tell you, the trajectory of my life changed starting that night. And my prayer today is you hear some real testimonies from real people in our church. These aren't actors. These are real people in our church who have had their own personal experience with Jesus, and it changed their life. And my prayer is that you would have your own personal experience with Jesus that you would never forget. March 31st, 2024, you'll never forget I met Jesus. You'll never forget I've encountered Jesus, that you would never forget that Jesus is Lord.
I was already divorced. I wasn't able to see my kids. I just came out of the military. My father and my sister were killed by a drunk driver. And I think I just went from one drug to the next, trying to fill the hole that I had in me.
For me, being far from God was being addicted. My wife caught me. Yeah, the low point was breaking her heart. and hating myself for it.
I ran away from God for a long time, and I think that was because of the hurt and the trauma. It was dark, it was depressive. I had a lot of anxiety.
I was going out drinking. I was just trying to find relationships, I would say, that would validate me. That's what I was always in search for. With that came a lot of hurt, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt.
I had just been dumped from a four-year relationship. I'm holding a 40 caliber pistol in my hands, thinking that I'm ready to check out.
I was in the street, I'd been up for days, and I ran into this little blue-haired lady. She asked me if I was hungry. Grabbed my arm, we started walking. We were walking toward a church. I had blamed God for all the wrong things that had happened to me, and I tried to pull away. And she just held onto my arm tight, and she says, "Don't worry about it. We don't have to talk about Jesus. Just come get something to eat."
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice.
We visited People's Church Midwest City. Like, I get emotional now, but I felt like I belong somewhere.
One of my best friends, she invited me. I did not know that it was going to change my life.
Pastor comes on the screen. The first thing he's talking about is shame. Everything he hit on was everything I was feeling.
I was baptized February 19th.
And it was as though, like, weight was just falling off of me.
God has healed me. He's healed me from addiction. He's healed my mind. He's healed my marriage.
And I felt like God has washed away my sins.
I never felt love like this, the way that I have been loved by God and by His people.
Sing for the freedom He has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Oh, speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He has risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. Are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Yeah.
Oh, now on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Hallelujah to the King. He's worthy to receive all the worship we can bring.
I couldn't have asked for the life that I have now. I'm married. I have a wonderful wife. I get to see my kids every day.
We may be messed up, but we're just as messed up as the next guy. I can testify that God can heal you. God did it for me, He can do it for you.
He said, when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be there. When you call on me, I will be there.
I had this fire in my soul to know Him, to know more of Him, to serve Him.
You're so much more than your worst day. You're so much more than your worst second. You're so much more than your worst thought.
There's nothing that you can ever do wrong that can make God look at you any differently. He loves you. He's waiting for you. He's always going to be waiting for you. You just have to make that first step.
Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship. Yeah.
I praise God for what he's done. I never forget what he's done. I never forget what he's done. Oh, I never forget what he's done. I never forget what he's done. Oh, I never forget.
I never forget.
May be seated, and I believe today that somebody else is going to be free. Somebody else is going to be healed. I believe right now somebody is having your own personal encounter with the Lord. You sense something in your heart. You sense something happening. That's the Holy Spirit touching you. Tear in your heart wondering, can I really be forgiven? Can I really? Is what happened to you, Pastor, years ago, can that happen for me? And what happened in that video happened to me? Because you don't understand, Pastor, the pain I'm in. You don't understand my trauma. You don't understand what I've been through. I'm hurting. I'm broken. Is God really real? Why am I going through this? I'm telling you, he loves you. He really is real. Would you reach out to him today? Pastor, I've messed up too much. I've blown it too much. It's just only if you knew what I've done. Only if you knew how I've lived. I'm telling you, God loves you. You're not too far away from his love. You're not too far away from his mercy. You're not too far away from his forgiveness. He loves you today. He loves you. Father, I thank you right now for drawing near to people. I thank you right now that you're going to rescue people and save people and forgive people. I thank you right now that you're drawing near. I thank you right now that people are having a personal encounter with you, an experience with you that they'll never forget. In Jesus' name I pray, as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, that's you. You're far from God. You're not serving God. Your heart's full of pain and hurt and trauma, and you've questioned if there really is a God. But today you're going to try Jesus. Today you're going to surrender your life to Jesus. Today you're going to give Jesus a try and put your faith and trust in Jesus. And he's going to meet you right where you are with his grace, his mercy, and his love. There's some of you today that you need to rededicate your life to the Lord because you used to live for God. You used to serve God, but you've got back into the world and you got back serving the devil and serving your flesh and making wrong decisions and in some habits you shouldn't be in. And today you need to come back home. And some of you feel unworthy. You feel so much shame. You're thinking, I don't know if God would accept me. Would he accept me again? Would he receive me and forgive me? Yet you're not too far gone for God. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. Would you come back and rededicate your life to the Lord and get committed to Jesus again? If that's you, as I count to three, you want to serve Jesus and not the devil. You want to go to heaven, not hell. You want to live in peace, not in turmoil. Today, you want to say yes to Jesus. As I count to three, lift your hand high. You want to rededicate your life, lift your hand high. And today, you're going to meet Jesus in a fresh and a new way. One, two, three. Just lift your hand high if that's you. One, two, three. That's it. That's it. So proud of you. So awesome. So awesome. Hands are going up. So awesome. Just keep lifting. I see your hand there. Just keep lifting. I see your hand there. Others are just lifted high. Lift it high. Come on, there's somebody else needs lift your. I see your hands in the back. I see you. There are others right now. Just lift your hand high. God loves you, sir. God loves you, man. Would you lift your hand high? You need to give your life to Jesus. You need to say yes to. You say, oh, Pastor, it's my first time to church in years. We're so glad you're here. But more than that, God's glad that you're here. Come on, lift your hand high. Is there somebody else today? There's grace for you. There's mercy for you. There's forgiveness for you. If you'll take a step towards God by lifting your hand, he's going to take a step towards you. Is there somebody else? Every location, his hands are going up. Online, click the raise your hand button. Say yes to Jesus. His hands are raised. Would you just say this prayer with me? Just say this prayer. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. God's going to wash away your sins. Pray with me now. Jesus, I turn away from sin and I turn my life over to you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross and that you rose again so my sins can be forgiven. I place my trust in you, my faith in you. I say yes to you in your way. And from this day forward, I will serve you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.